Being a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, author of How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Danielle Kelly. Danielle is a pastor's wife, a writer and a speaker, and a podcaster. Her podcast is called Unashamed and Free Podcast, where she talks about journeying out of shame into freedom. In 2016, Danielle and her husband John planted Chicago West Bible Church in, you guessed it, Chicago. She is passionate about women understanding who they are in Christ and delights in helping them abide in Him. Danielle joins me today to talk about grief and lament. She shares about the time that God invited her to grieve the pain and the hurts that she was experiencing in ministry. She shares with us how we can overcome many of the obstacles we put in our own way when it comes to lament, and why lament is a beautiful thing and something that we should practice in our daily walk with Christ. Friends, here is my conversation with Danielle Kelly. It is so fun for me to get to welcome Danielle Kelly to the podcast. Welcome, Danielle.
Hi, Christine. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to get to know you. I mean, I know about you is you live in Chicago.
Well, you're going to learn a lot, I guess.
So tell me, introduce yourself to me and to my listeners and tell us about your ministry and your family.
Yes. Yeah, so I am Danielle Kelly. I have, I think like many women, many different roles and hats, but the first one is I'm a wife, mother, follower of Jesus, proud follower of Jesus. And he is my dad. And part of my journey is being fatherless. So knowing him as Abba Father is dear to me. I take that as something to be proud of. Mm. And I'm a pastor's wife, a church planner's wife. My husband and I planted Chicago West Bible Church on the west side of Chicago 8 years ago.
Wow.
I write and speak, and I have done life coaching, and I'm a fellow podcaster as well. I know. So
I want to ask about that. But yes. First, when you said that about being part of your story, being growing up without a father, have you read Blair Lynn's book, Finding My Father?
You know what? I actually have it, and I have not read it yet, but it's time for me to read it.
It's really good. It's a pretty quick read considering the gravity of the story, but she just does a really good job with it.
Mm, that's good. I'll have to check it out.
Check it out. Okay, so tell us about your podcast.
Okay, so my podcast is called Unashamed and Free, and it's about journeying out of shame into freedom. And it came about because when we started the church, I was just dealing with a ton of shame in my life. I was dealing with my dad not being in my life, still on a healing process with that, but also dealing with the shift that I was feeling from people. I've been a Christian since I was 16. And when we started the church, I had always served, but I wasn't prepared for how people would treat me differently as a lead pastor's wife. And just struggling with things as a young mom and wanting to talk about it. And I was met with judgment from a lot of people, and some people were really gracious. And I just realized, like, hey, I'm dealing with shame. Other people are dealing with shame. Why can't we talk about it? So it's weird that I decided I want to start this podcast to just talk about my shame. And it became part of it was like therapy and healing. And so I share my journey, but I also just share the journey of everyday people, what they're going through in their shame journey and where they're at, in hopes that someone can realize that they're not alone and that God is with them on their journey out of shame into freedom.
I love that. I love that you're like, nobody's really responding here. So I'm just going to take this public. I'm just going to go on a podcast and talk about it. I really like that, though, that you're bringing that up in terms of being a pastor's wife, that kind of seems like that might have brought some of that to the surface, or the way people were responding to you. I think that's a common experience that we feel. We just don't quite feel that we can fill up the role sometimes.
Yes. it's big.
Yeah. It's really
overwhelming. And I have my expectations. People have their expectations. And it's like, at the end of the day, I might have the title of pastor's wife, but I'm a fellow sister in the Lord that mm-hmm. is trying to walk in holiness and may have shame because of things that I've done or things that have been done to me. And I just feel like it's something, I feel like in our society now, people are talking about shame and trauma and things more. But it needs to be talked about more, and people need to understand that the leaders that God has given them have it, and mm-hmm. that they're not wrong or sinful mm-hmm. for struggling and wanting freedom from shame.
Mm-hmm. And I think over the decades of ministry I've been in, I've realized anything that we have that's kind of undealt with, it really can, it's going to come out, and yes. it's going to hurt the people around us that we're trying to serve and love. Yes. And so it's so important that we're willing to look at those things and mm-hmm. to stop, to slow down, and to let the Lord work in those things.
Yes.
So, and you talk a lot, and you are passionate about really slowing down, not just to look at shame, but to look at grief and pain. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about where that heart came from?
Yes. So I mentioned that my husband and I are church planners. And when we started the church, we went through this training center, and we thought that we were going to have about almost a year to plant, but it didn't work that way. We ended in December and launched in March. Mm-hmm. I was pregnant and delivered my son, one of my sons, 2 weeks into our first service. And just, oh yes, my goodness. Right. It was crazy. And just experienced a lot of pain through that, and a lot of grief. And with ministry, you can have a lot of loss, people misunderstanding you, people coming in the church, leaving, developing friendships. And then having, I mentioned earlier, I grew up fatherless. So there's a ton of grief and lament tied to that. So this past summer, the Lord gave us an invitation to go on sabbatical. And I would have liked the sabbatical to come about differently than it did, but it came about. And one of the things that happened is, once I entered that sabbatical, the Lord's like, okay, now that I have your attention and you have slowed down, there's a lot of pain that you have been holding on to, a lot of grief that we need to address. It's time. And it's like David, he's like, I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures and restore your soul. So that's kind of how the journey of lament and seeing it as beautiful and embracing it as a lifestyle has come about for me.
Hmm. Okay, so I like that you use the word invitation. There was an invitation there. The invitation probably was to look directly at the pain.
Yes.
We don't like to do that, Danielle.
No.
So how did you come to see it as an invitation? Like, how did you take that step to just look at it?
Well, I think part of it is because I didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. Like, the sabbatical was tied to pain, tied to lament, tied to grief. So it was one of those things that I went through where I told my little girl, the little girl that was abandoned as a little girl, like as the little girl that was abandoned by her father. And I've been in therapy for years, so I've dealt with levels of grief, but the sabbatical, like, gave me permission to grieve, lost friendships, all the church, I'm gonna be real, church pain. It was like, okay, you get to process the pain little Danielle still has, but you also get to process current pain that you just haven't been able to because you've been ministering and you've been running a million miles per hour. So I had no choice. So it was just kind of like I was invited to the party abruptly, and I'm like, okay, here I am. But I decided to embrace the invitation because I could have rejected it. Mm-hmm. But I said, no, Lord, since you have put this here, I'm giving myself the grace and the permission to lay here, to let mm-hmm. you deal with it, to feel the feelings and go through the process.
Okay, so take me into that process of, okay, God's inviting you. It's kind of a forced invitation. And you're looking at that. What did he begin to do in you to help you process that pain?
Wow. I think the first thing is during the sabbatical, we had the gift of going to two intensives with marriage intensive for pastors and their wives, which was great.
Where was it?
It was a place called 12 Stones. And okay. They have a program called Lead Healthy that's specifically okay. for pastors and their wives. Uh-huh. So we were able to do that. And then the other thing is we separately went to trauma treatment that was at a secular place. It's in Tennessee. It's called On-Site. And that was great because it dealt with trauma. So, yeah, so that's kind of where the steps begin. And one of the things that God started to show me that lament is beautiful because I was scared of it. I was scared to really, I was like, okay, I see you inviting me into this, but I feel like it's a dark pit that I can't see the other side of.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's at the bottom of that pit and I don't see a way out. So when I was at 12 Stones, my therapist really helped me to understand that Jesus is on the other side and that he has us lament with a purpose, that our lament is not empty. And that he's a savior that knows lament well. And he is, his invitation is not something he hasn't walked through himself. So that's kind of the first steps for me. And then I started to see it as a beautiful process, which I would not have said in the beginning. And then the trauma treatment as well helped. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, that answers. Okay. I would love for, we're talking about lament, but how would you define what lament is?
So I would say, this is probably like the Google definition of lament. Lament is just the process of crying out your pain and sorrow. But I would like to note that on my journey, I've learned that biblical lament is different than just lamenting. When you're just lamenting, you're just letting that expression of pain and sorrow out. But biblical lament, and this is a definition from Mark Volgoff, I think his name is. He has a book called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy.
That's a great book.
Yeah, and he talked about how biblical lament is the process of like having that expression in grief, but it's drawing you to trust in the Lord. Like it ends with trust in him. And again, it's like lamenting with a purpose. It's not just this thing of letting it out. It's like, I'm bringing this pain to you, Lord, and I'm choosing to trust you in this.
That's so good. I think this is something that I too, we've kind of walked similar pathways where God took me through a really dark season. My husband and I went to a marriage intensive at a different place for pastors called Crosspoint. It was really helpful. But I think one thing I learned about lament is that biblical lament is you're calling upon the character and nature of God, and you're asking him to act on your behalf according to that character. And if you think about that, his character includes justice. It includes mercy. It includes deliverance. Those are the things he's called, just and our deliverer. And so I think it's hard sometimes to allow ourselves to go, okay, I'm just going to pour out my complaint to God, which is what David says in Psalm 142. I'm going to pour out my complaint.
Yes.
But he's calling upon the character of God. And I think that was such a key for me to realize, oh, I'm asking him to act according to those things for me. I'm asking him to see me and then to act for me. And that's a really good thing.
Yeah. And can I add something to that too?
Yes.
I think it's like what I've learned in the process of lament is, yes, 100% agree with you of calling out to his character, but it's also lament takes trust in his character to start the process. Like I had to, there was a moment where he's like, okay, be honest with me about why you're avoiding lament. That's where the process started. Let's talk about why you've avoided lament for a long time. And it came down to a lot of reasons. And one of the reasons was, I'm really angry with you, God. I'm very angry with you. And I don't trust your character right now. I know your character, but I don't trust it. And because I don't trust it, I'm not coming to you. So then I had to wrestle with, do I trust that I'm loved and that I can come to him even when I'm angry with him? Like, how do you trust a God and lament when sometimes you're lamenting about something you think that he's wounded you? Sometimes it's other people, But it's like, Lord, I feel like you have wounded me in this.
Yeah.
That's the harder part. So for me, it was, yes, I'm calling to his character, but I'm also going to remember that he is trustworthy to come to, even when I feel like he's wounded me, that I could go sit. And I, since I don't have the M, I don't know what it's like to sit on my daddy's lap and get comfort. I see my kid, I have all boys. So I see my sons, even when they're upset with their dad, embrace him when he says, come to me, come sit with me. Even when they're mad, they come. So I don't have a tangible experience of that. So the Lord has to help, let in his grace, let me wrestle with him and say, so I know you're angry with me, but come here. Come on. Let's talk about it. Tell me why you don't trust me. Okay.
That's a good clarification, what you just said. And it also brings out that God is good enough. He is so good that he can say that to us. I know you don't trust me, but I'm here. Come. I'll be patient with you while you learn to trust me.
Yes.
Oh, that's really good. Well, I think one of the first obstacles we have, though, in lament, especially as pastors' wives, I think, is we don't give ourselves permission to do this. It feels like there's certain feelings we're not allowed to have as Christians, and then especially as a pastor's wife, like you gotta keep it together, girl.
You better not have any anger or emotion.
Right. So can you talk about that? I don't know if that was a struggle for you, giving yourself permission. I think it is for a lot of people. So I just wonder, could you speak to that?
Yeah, I think it was less of a struggle because I had journeyed through my shame with the Lord first, which also has lament tied into tied to it. So I think that my journey with God has that whole good Christian concept. Like, I can't say this, I can't do this with the Lord because it's not being the good Christian.
Right.
I think that was an obstacle I had to overcome, that it's not wrong for me to give myself permission, because I'm not a bad Christian because I grieve. All Christians grieve. And we live in a society that just rejects lament. Like, we just live in a society that our churches don't provide space for us to feel sorrow at all. So I think it goes back to, again, his character of knowing, like, okay, I can give myself permission. I'm not wrong for doing this because I know God loves me. I know he's never going to reject me. I know that he's compassionate and he's near to the brokenhearted. So that kind of helped me get over the hump of lamenting and realizing that my lament, yes, I can process it with people, but I really need to process it with the Lord first. Let him deal with it.
Yeah. You also spoke to something earlier where you said, and this is paraphrasing, but that you were afraid. What I would say is like a fear of letting go and letting yourself really go there because you might fall into a pit and not be able to get out.
Yes.
So that's another fear. What can you say to us about what you've learned?
With that, well, that's where I'm so thankful for trained professionals that helped me. So I went to 12 Stones, was like the biblical counseling route where I learned, like, okay, Jesus is at the bottom of it and just the bottom of the pit. That helped me a lot to get over the fear that it was just endless, that he was going to catch me. But then when I went to the other therapy, there was a lot of interaction, role play. So being able to physically, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
So there was like this Lambreth thing. I'm not familiar with a lot of them. I'm like very leery of stuff because of just spiritual warfare. I'm like, I don't know about this. So it was a group of us and they encouraged us to go through it and pray, ask a question. And for me, I was like, I'm talking to Jesus. I'm not talking to no false God. I'm talking to Jesus. And one of the questions that I had was like, what is on the other side of this? Like, I know that you're on the other side of this, but like, what is it? So I'm walking through and not realizing there's a rock in the center of this maze. And as I walk through and I'm questioning God, I get to the center and he's like, I'm Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Like, this is at the bottom. And I'm like, okay, I get this, but what's on the other side still? So as I'm walking out, this man with bagpipes, is that what you're called? I didn't even know they were going to have that. He starts playing this this song, and I'm like, what is that song? And it was Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit's like, my grace is going to carry you out of this. Like, not only am I at the bottom of this, but my grace is going to carry you all the way home, every step of this. And that was just like super powerful for me to have the knowledge, but to physically be walking through something and God mm-hmm. just show me through action.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Psalm 40 where David says, you've brought me out of a pit. Mm-hmm. You've given me a new song to sing. I think that's what's on the other side is in some ways parts of us are new.
Yes.
We have a new song to sing. We have something new that we know about God and about ourselves. That's at least what I've experienced.
Yes. Can I speak to that too? So there's, yeah. I want to share a scripture of a scripture that was shared with me on my lament journey was Psalm 126 verse 5 and 6. And it says, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they will sing as they return with harvest. And that was so powerful for me because when I think about lament and it, the beauty of it, it's like, I love nature. I love flowers. And when I look at a flower, I see the color, the scent and everything. And I'm not thinking about the process it went through to bloom. It was a seed at one point or a bulb, and it was probably ugly. You know, they're not pretty. And it had to sit in darkness. It had a time of sitting in the darkness before it could burst forth. And I feel like lament is like that. When you first look at it, it's ugly. It doesn't feel comfortable. You have your apprehensions and your fears about it. But when you sit in the darkness of it with the Lord and allow him to comfort you, to minister to you, to speak to you, then he starts to water you. And then all of a sudden, beauty comes out of it and you are able to sing. You are able to worship. You are able to have a different perspective. But it has to go through a process of sitting in the darkness and like feeling all the feelings and being there.
What you're saying, okay, you're on sabbatical and you have this time and this space. But then you go back into ministry, you go back into life. Mm. And I think that's one of the main, we can outrun our pain and our grief a little bit. And sometimes I think at some point we all, like God makes it catch up with us to give us this invitation to this fruit that he wants to build in us through lament and grief. But busyness is it's a very convenient thing sometimes mm-hmm. for us, as pastors' wives especially.
It is.
And so how have you brought this skill of in this practice of lament into your everyday busy life?
Yes, that's such a good question. So one of the things that one of my therapists told me over the sabbatical was as a pastor's wife that I needed to embrace lament not as like an event but as a lifestyle, and I needed to ebb and flow out of it. And so entering into the busyness, I have been more aware of my body and of when grief comes up. So over the sabbatical, I realized that I feel a lot of grief in my chest. Like when it comes up for me, that's where it comes. So when entering into the busyness, if I start feeling tightness in my chest, I'm like, time out. What's happening right now? Like, what am I ignoring? How did that conversation that I just came out of at church impact me? I'm feeling, oh, that's grief that I'm feeling. Then I take some time. Even if I can't do it at the church that week, I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to slow down, whether it's for 5 minutes or just setting aside an hour later that week to process that. Mm-hmm. And so that's one way that I've kind of guarded myself from that, and to just practice a personal Sabbath. Like guarding that time of rest each week helps me to just know. It provides space for me to go, oh, that week was hard. This is what I'm feeling. Like even today, I woke up and my body was feeling a certain way and I was feeling emotions. And some of it was grief, but it came about because I'm tired. So I was like, oh, I need to rest. I need to rest, rest, rest. And in that rest, then God will meet me. Mm-hmm. And another thing too, I'm in Chicago. It's cold. But a lot of times walking, just giving myself space to walk is another way to process my grief and the ebbs and flow. And another thing that's been really great for me, I did not go to art school, but I just have embraced art as a way for me to process. So even this weekend, I was just doing art time with my kids and was able to create something that was related to my grief. And it didn't take super long. So those are some ways in the ebb and flow and the busyness that I've been able to process my grief and my safe people. I always say safe people. Just letting them know, hey, this is how I experience my grief. And when you see me acting out or responding in a certain way, can you call me out on it in love and just say, are you okay? So yeah,
that's good. Those are some ways. I'm wondering, you mentioned earlier, I think you did, that you said as you went into sabbatical that you had, there had been some hurt, like relational hurt. And I think that's very, very, very common. We've all experienced that. And sometimes it's to the level where we're like, we're not sure we're going to be able to recover from that, whether it's a betrayal or just losing a friendship that someone we trusted. And so how have you, I'm asking for help us to think through that. Like, how can we bring this practice of lament to that specific situation?
Oh, with losing friends and relationships. Oh, it's one of the things that I hate the most.
Me too.
I realized that Jesus was really good at letting go and developing relationships with people. And then he was constantly experiencing people leaving him in one form or another, whether they chose to leave him. He just was always in that state. So that kind of helps me. But I think one way to process that grief when someone that we love leaves or a relationship breaks apart, as far as acknowledging it, like if you just don't acknowledge it, it's just going to sit and it's going to come up in anger. It's going to come up in a nasty way somewhere else. So acknowledging, letting God just minister to the brokenness so you don't have a root of bitterness. I think that that's important because depending on how the relationship has ended and the grief, it can be easy to just be bitter. And then that can close off relationships that God will bring in your life to bring about healing. Working through the process of forgiveness is key to just really having grace for yourself. Like having grace for yourself that like, man, that hurt. And time, like not giving yourself a timeline on your healing. That's the thing about lament. You cannot put a timeline on it because you might go through a season of healing and something may trigger you. And then you're like, oh, man, I'm feeling grief all over again.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's just having grace for yourself, living open-handed. And I've learned one thing that's helped me with the pain of the relationships is just saying, you know what? All the things that I said, but God, thank you for that season with this person. Whether it ended terribly, I'm really grateful that that was the season and it hurts to let them go, but man, it had to hurt you when you healed those lepers and they all walked away and only one came back. It had to hurt you when your disciples abandoned you. Like it had to hurt you to continuously pour into people and they just walk away. But help me to be open-handed. Help me to be thankful for them. Help me to pray for them. Yeah. So I don't know if that was a lot. Oh, and just knowing that he understands. I think that's the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You said earlier, lament is not an event. And I think that's what I would summarize what you just said. It's a process. It's something we have to continually, I'm like you, I'll think, okay, I think I've moved past that and the Lord brought healing. And then I'm reminded of something and I feel like I'm right back there. But really, it's just a few steps forward, one step back, a few steps forward. It's this process he's taking me through. And there is healing available on the other side. But it does require us to do the hard work of looking at the pain with the Lord over and over until he fully restores.
Yeah. And the other thing too is like it caught one of the things that I shared with the women at my church after the sabbatical. I did a whole message with them. It's just that it costs us something when we don't lament. It costs us a lot. And when I spent time with the Lord and really answered the question that he gave me, what is this costing you? I'm like, man, well, it's costing me a lot. And I don't want to continue to be stuck in this.
Yeah.
So when I counted the cost of not lamenting, it was actually greater than just saying, deal with my pain, Lord. Let me cry out to you.
Really good, Danielle. That's really good. And that's a good question we can leave the conversation with, just for each person to think, what is it costing me to not do this? Mm-hmm. So I'd love, just in closing, to know, how has learning to give yourself space for grief and lament, how has it changed you?
I'm happier. I have permission to play. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like a child in a good way. Like I feel like a child that can, such a visual person. Like right now I see myself just running through the fields. Like it's freeing me up to really enjoy life, to have joy. To have joy, because grief and joy can coincide. They both can exist. So it's changed me to have joy and to see other people's grief and sit with them in it and say, I see you. I see you. I see you. I don't have the answers, but I see you, and to be with them in it. It's helped me sit in the grief with my kids. And it's changed my relationship with the Lord. It's just deepened my trust, my love, my reverence, my honor of him.
Yeah. That's great. I'm thankful for that. Thank you for sharing this with us. I think this is really helpful. It's challenging. Mm-hmm. And I'm super passionate about being emotionally healthy. And I just spoke to some pastors' wives about it this past weekend. And I said to them, "Then you're not going to want to do anything I just said." And they all started laughing. And I know all the listeners are thinking, I don't want to do what Danielle just told me is good, but it is good. And so hopefully this will kind of spark some things for women listening, that they will go to the Father and say, I'm not sure if I want to be here. I'm not sure if I want to tell you all the things, but will you help me?
Yes, exactly.
So thank you, Danielle.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform, or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.